This is episode 169, recorded July 25th, 2014. Packard pokes at returning to the scene of the vibrator. I want to thank Karn33333 from the chat room for this week's show title.
You can help support and promote the show by purchasing our merchandise at cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt, where you can choose from a variety of different items like hoodies, hats, and bears. Oh my! Put a Packard Pokesat mug in your hands today.
Do you like Packard Pokesat and want to hear it on demand and on the go? Download the free app today at Stitcher.com. Available on iOS, Android, Nook, and iPad.
This is Packard Pokesat, and I'm poking at your news. Your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokesat. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far middle of nowhere is Dave, you're damned.
Howdy, everyone.
And joining us tonight from just south of the middle of nowhere is Dana, the talking primate.
Two roads diverged in a yellow woods, and I got trashed, passed out, and ended up here.
I can't think of a better place to be. Oh, this is episode 169. One of my favorite numbers, but
minus 100.
Yours is the 100 part? Okay.
169 is my birthday. I was born in January of 1969, so I feel honored.
Oh, well, good. There you go.
Showstopper.
Right. Well, we've got some wonderful stories for you tonight. Let's get to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
Science. Trying to collect energy is very difficult sometimes, especially when we have so much of it around us, like, you know, we got sunlight coming in, but we only capture 1 to 2% of that total solar energy. If we could capture as much energy as the sun puts out in one day, we could power the entire planet for a whole year just with this energy, the energy that comes from the sun in one day. That's a lot of power. However, because it is so hard to collect, it is a little difficult to process and everything like that, because we've got solar panels and things like that, but they don't collect all that much. There's a new thing that MIT has come up with. It's a solar sponge. Now, it's not the end-all, be-all to energy collection, but it's damn close. This solar sponge, it converts sunlight into steam with 85% efficiency. 85% efficiency. Can you imagine that? That's incredible. The fact is that you can get all that energy back, or, well, not quite all of it, but you can get 85% of it back, so you can use it to create steam. Right now, it's still experimental, and the best part about this, the way they create this, they take graphite, and they basically bake it in a microwave. So if you have a microwave, and you've got some extra graphite hanging around, you might be able to do your own.
So, not try this at home.
Yeah, but don't try this at home just yet. Maybe at some point, future date, you might be able to just go to your microwave. Yeah, honey, I'm going to go make up some solar cells for the bathroom here, or the back room or whatever, you know. And and just, you know, just go throw it on the virtual energy collector or whatever. It is still experimental, but it's a great start. If you see the picture of this, it looks like somebody just took a scraper sponge from, like, you see you buy at the store, like you'd wash your dishes off with, and this put some kind of string or some silly string or something on top of it and colored it gray. But it apparently works really well. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this is, it's a pretty neat idea. I don't know how practical it is for actual use as far as an energy source. Mm-hmm. Yeah, converting the sunlight into steam like that with that sort of efficiency, It's a good start, and obviously this is in its infancy, so it has time to develop. But really, in order to then convert it into usable energy, it's going to take all sorts of other modifications, turbines and creating actual electricity that we can use.
Right.
And you're going to lose a lot of your energy in that process. So it's, I don't know how practical it's going to be for that, but what's really exciting is its use for steam for disinfecting things or for creating clean, potable water.
Right.
You know, those sort of uses, especially in the third world, seem to be something that's really exciting and something that can be very useful, that people can take on the go, hopefully in the future.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that would be great if you could take this and get buy it like as a little kit. You know, like if you're going camping or something, or you know, like you said, a third world country, they could send this over so they could desalinize water or whatnot. You know, to boil it out. That is one of the possibilities, but the fact is, you know, trying to get the scale, lime scale and all that other stuff out may be a little difficult. But to change it into steam so it can power that stuff, that would be kind of great for that. Dina, your thoughts?
I don't know about the practical applications, but this paves the way for criminal masterminds to take over everyone's water supply.
Pay us 1,000 rubles or we shall boil away your water.
Okay, hold on a second. I have to put on my stovepipe hat and my handlebar mustache. Okay, ready? It's just like,
all we have to do is drop 5 million of these little sponges into a reservoir on a sunny day and poof, the water supply is gone.
Be raining,
you know,
a lot.
You know, I can't help but wonder what the bedroom applications are for these things.
Oh, that's a whole other heating up.
The only problem is trying to figure out how you get the sunshine up there.
It's right. Is it getting warmer now, honey? I got the flashlight going.
You tell me.
Any last thoughts?
No, I destroyed it.
Okay. Speaking of water and places like that, there's a girl, she's a sixth grader, and she was trying to come up with an experiment, and she was out with her dad, who's actually a fish ecologist, and they were out swimming, and they saw some lionfish swimming around, and so she thought, well, hey, what happens if they should go upriver? So she took some lionfish, and she put them into tanks. One was a control, you know, keep it at the temperature and the water salinization that it's supposed to be at. And then slowly, over time, on the other five, she would lower the salt content of the water that the lionfish were in. Now, the main thing was that the fish could not die. Were that if you did, then the experiment is supposedly over. But she got it down so far to 6 parts per 1,000. That's not a lot of salt content for these lionfish. So these lionfish, since they have no natural predators like out here, like in the lakes and rivers out here, if they were to swim upstream, they wouldn't have any predators because, as far as I know about lionfish, and that's very little, unfortunately, that the spines are poisonous. And so if they get attacked by other fish that are more native, they probably wouldn't stand a chance, at least not for very long anyway. Dave, your thoughts?
Lionfish are delicious. Have you ever eaten a lionfish?
No.
Delicious.
Are they?
Yeah, but unless you know what you're doing, you don't want to be the one cleaning it.
Right.
Because you poke yourself with that spine and you're screwed.
Right.
But it's not like a pufferfish. You know, a pufferfish, if you injure a certain area, it can bleed out and ruin the meat and then you know, get the poison in it. It's, if you remove the skeleton, you're fine. It's just a matter of, when you're preparing it, not cutting yourself on the skeleton.
Ah.
They are delicious.
Really?
And I highly recommend eating them. So if they come in to anywhere near where I'm at in Michigan, I'm going to fish that shit.
I would go into the pet store with a friend of mine occasionally, and there would be like little, like the lionfish and whatnot, and they had these like little starfish. They'd go, ooh, oh, that's too bad. That's too little for eating. You know, some people are looking at me like, why would you do that? I was like, I'm joking. I wouldn't actually do that. So
they're pretty fish. I mean, I've seen them in aquariums, and they are very pretty fish. I mean, it's an interesting thing that she would have that sort of thought to do this kind of experiment. I think that a lot of people who are educated in a specific field lose a certain level of creativity and that desire to think outside the box as far as that. I mean, it's just a question that, you know, everyone just assumes that they're saltwater fish, and so, you know, why would you question whether or not it goes in there? But this girl had that question, and she tested her hypothesis, and, you know, I think that partially she got credit for it because she wasn't bogged down by all of the politics of,
right,
of actual research paper and getting a grant and, you know, is this a feasible project and blah, 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 blah. You know, she just went out and did it, and she's fucking doing science, man. Good for her.
Absolutely. Now, what's kind of interesting about this story here is that Craig Lehman, an ecology professor at North Carolina State, said he credited a sixth grader for coming up with his idea. It's like, wait a minute, it was her idea, not yours, dude.
He did. He gave her like a special citation in it or something.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah. No cash reward, no grants, but we'll give you a little pat on the back, a little piece of paper. You're okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, yeah, but put that on your letter for entry to a university later.
True.
On. It's going to look pretty good.
Yes, absolutely. No, I agree with on that point, but I think a little extra cash would have been nice, you know, a little, you know, a couple hundred bucks under the table or something. That helps along the way, too, in college, too. So
those fish doctors don't make a lot of money anyway, so oh, yeah. I doubt he's got the money to shell out, frankly.
Right. I couldn't imagine trying to imagine doing surgery underwater because, you know, the fish doctor, he's got a little... Never mind. Dana, your thoughts.
Okay, so before I come in completely out of left field with my traditional jokes, I did want to tell you that if you dig a little bit deeper, there's a blog that was written where basically not only did... What you said is actually kind of correct. There was another researcher who was actually working on this. And I think I'm under the impression that that's where she, in fact, got part of her idea to go ahead and do this. And after all was said and done, the peer-reviewed research paper that we always talk about is actually going to have two entries with her research in it.
Okay.
So it is kind of a win for her. But you'd have to read the blog. I'm being very vague, but you'd have to go back. Now, back on to want to remind everybody that this lionfish is not to be confused with the lionfish, L-Y-I-N fish, that claims that it's not actually a fish, but is in fact a type of tomato.
Okay.
All right. But here we go. Obviously, the real question is, can they reproduce in that environment? And if that's the case, these little buggers could be a real big problem if they get loose and they adapt to their environment that way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the bull shark.
Right.
Which is a species that can live pretty much anywhere.
Oh,
in
yeah.
In fact, it's probably in the sewer system. But you don't really have to worry about it because all we really need to control the lionfish population is Leslie Nielsen and a bunch of pens.
Yes.
I love the fact that
I love that scene. I love that scene. It's like, this pen, it's impervious to being destroyed to anything except for one thing, water. And he's like, goes right into the tank and just happens to go right through the lionfish that's in the tank there. It's like, awesome. I miss that man. He was so fucking funny. All right, let's move on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
When it comes to toys, people love their toys. And when it comes to bedroom toys, people love their toys. There's a new toy that you can get for the bedroom. It's called the Gaga. And it's not just any vibrator toy that you would normally buy off the shelf or in some specialized magazine in some cases. This particular sex toy has a video camera in it, which you can tether to your computer or handheld device, and you can see what's going on inside. And the thing is, it's not just a camera. It actually vibrates. So if you're in the mood to stick a camera in there and watch what's going on inside, you can now. A lot of these toys, usually when you get cameras that go inside a woman's vagina, are usually fairly expensive. This particular one, it runs about $180. Now, like I said, that does seem a little steep, but it can be hooked up to a USB charger so it can charge that way, and the phone application so you can actually watch what's going on inside there. And apparently they have a YouTube commercial. I've not seen it myself, but I'm afraid to watch it at this point. And it basically is a vag cam, you know, it's just... of all things, is what they describe it here on the webpage. Dave, your thoughts?
Paging Dr. Grappenberg. I mean, it's for the sexy scientist in you when you really want to get experimental in bed.
Uh huh. Absolutely.
Yeah, make some scientific observations.
Right. I bet you there's guys out there who would love something like this too, just for their own, you know, curiosity of themselves. That's just my thoughts, of course.
I don't follow Packard.
I'll explain it to you after the show, Dave.
I don't don't know that I want you to.
Only if I can watch.
I mean, is this really a new thing? I mean,
yes.
Haven't there always been sex toys that, not always, but in recent years, if you watch pornography, mm-hmm. has no one else seen sex toys that allow you to see inside there?
Yes, they are available, but like I said, these are usually, those ones are very expensive, and you have to have it attached to a special camera so you can actually do anything with it. But this is, it's a camera, it's all in one, and it, like I said, it also vibrates.
So this is basically the Ford of vibrating video cameras.
Right, exactly.
It made it affordable and brought it to the everyman.
Right, exactly. Joe in the chat room says, "Tell us about how much you love your sex toys, Packard."
Yes, pray tell, Packard.
Dana, your thoughts?
Well, there are some drawbacks to this thing. First of all, could you imagine inadvertently swapping the pictures that came out of the vag cam with the ones you were going to show your parents from your vacation to France?
Oh. It's like, what was this of?
Those days on the couch would be over.
Would.
So here's a here's a practical application. You snap a picture, you post it to Facebook, tag your kids, and post under Family Memories the album.
You were here. Connie in the chat room says, "Investigative reporting."
So one last note on this. Was it not too long ago, the story came out that there was something that went along with the Fleshlight called, what was that called, the launch pad?
Yeah, it was called the launch pad.
That you put on your iPad and use that while you were doing the business?
Right, yeah.
So here's my concern, and I'm alarmist, okay? So I'm very concerned that if the vag cam and the launch pad got together, we might actually give birth to AI.
Yeah, but it'll be sexy AI.
That's right.
As long as they don't look like Haley Joel Osment.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I remember seeing the commercial because I was watching it on another YouTube channel. But the guy's like talking to his girlfriend. She, oh yeah, put your sexy lingerie on for me. And he's like, okay. And he flips the thing up. And he's putting in the artificial vaginator or whatever into the back of it so he can just flip it. Yeah, on the launch pad. Yeah, and he's putting the fake vaginal device in the back there. It's like, okay, I'm all ready now. But that's a little creepy for me. I mean, I can't.
I'm gonna need you to do some more hand gestures on there, Packard.
So I couldn't. That would be kind of stupid to put something on the back of an iPad anyway. Because if you're trying to watch a video and you're doing this back and forth with the cameras going like this, you're gonna get a neck cramp because your neck is going back and forth, back and forth.
Wouldn't know, dude. Wouldn't know.
I'm just saying. I'm speculating.
I mean, in the heat of the moment, if you're really into it, you know, a couple of glasses of wine and some music, you don't notice.
Right.
I just wonder if
you feel it. You feel it in the morning, but oh, yeah. I mean, that goes with any Friday night.
Sure. Yeah, Connie in the chat room just kind of reminded us that it said only a trained expert might be able to recognize various parts of the body parts.
Yeah, but I was thinking too.
Yeah, and only 99% of women through our time, and that, so that's a layman. You know, so even if you could get in there, the chance of you actually recognizing or understanding what it is you're actually seeing is completely different. You know, unless you're trained.
That's
medically.
Why you use it a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta really get to know that. You know, you study.
Right. That's a real train at home utility.
Yeah. It gives a whole new name, a whole new thing to playing doctor.
Right.
Well, no, it's going to make everybody a backyard gynecologist.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm a backyard
gynecologist. That's a bad thing.
That's right. I got a little tag. It says, backyard gynecologist. Please lay down for your free exam.
Trust me, I'm an expert.
Yeah, Connie said that in general there.
Trust me, I'm practicing to be an expert.
Right, I'm practicing to be an expert.
No, I'm not just playing doctor.
Right. Speaking of people and toys, a lady who wanted to get one of her get a new toy for herself. But instead of, you know, going out and purchasing it like, you know, everybody else did, she takes her kid down to the local Spencer's. If you're not familiar with Spencer's, they sell all kinds of novelty items, gag gifts, and they usually in the back somewhere, they have adult toys and games and things like that, usually for parties. This woman, like I said, she walked in there with her kid and in her stroller to look less conspicuous, I'm assuming. And she went over to the toys and the vibrators and whatnot, and she took one out of the box, and she shoved it down inside in the back of the stroller there. And the clerk had noticed what was going on, and she walked out like, hey, that's I didn't do anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And then he reaches into the stroller, pulls it out, and then she takes off. And then what was so kind of stupid here, she comes back, and that's when the cashier called the cops. I mean, if you're going to take something, pro tip, and if you get away, you don't go back the same day or, you know, ever, especially if you get caught. Just a little pro tip for you upcoming burglars or store thieves. You don't go back to the same store and try it again. Dave, your thoughts?
Well, you know, she was getting on the five-finger discount.
she was trying to get on the five-finger discount because she was tired of using her fingers.
That's right. She was doing the upgrade.
Yes.
Trying to do the
one-finger discount. She's trying to, yeah.
The one-fisted discount?
Right.
I screwed that all up.
That's right.
But that's fine, because she screwed up and she's a naughty girl. A right. Naughty, naughty girl.
Naughty, naughty girl.
Yes. Yes.
How young was this child?
Do we know
anything about this child? I mean, is this... I don't even know.
It does not say. It just says that she's 38, and that's all they've got in there, so...
Yeah, there's not really a whole lot of information on this, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. Strange.
Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, you don't steal something like a vibrator. I mean, I've heard of people stealing all kinds of things, but this...
Why don't you steal... I mean, if you're going to steal anything, why not steal a vibrator?
I suppose so. I don't... Well, I suppose why not, but I mean, just...
She went back for batteries.
Yes. And she must have probably went, she went back for batteries. She stole another vibrator somewhere else and just like, oh, I need batteries now. I'll just go back to Spencer's. Yeah. I'm just looking on the page here. Now, this is not related to the story here, but I'm looking at the page. It says there's apparently a sex toy that was stuck in a woman's vagina for 10 years. Could you imagine that? I mean, just...
I'm imagining it right now.
Yeah, of course you are, Dave.
Actually, my relationship with my wife, that would explain a lot.
I don't need you anymore. Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, the first thing that went through my mind was, oh boy, could you imagine if this was one of those badge cam vibrators, we'd probably have a bird's eye view of the perpetrator.
In more ways than one, absolutely, yes.
Maybe a cat's eye view. I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
So I dug a little deeper, and according to another report, the suspect was overheard to say, how did that get in there?
Yeah.
Which is probably what she would have said had she been discovered with it at home.
Right. I don't know how they got in there, just there one day. Anybody have any last thoughts on this?
No, I'm all out of jokes on that one.
Okay.
Except, good evening and welcome to Dildo Talk.
The article uses the phrase, slide the vibrator, and that just makes me giggle.
Right.
That, I saw that, too. I could have picked any other verb.
Uh-huh.
You know, gently caress the vibrator behind the
scenes. It's a quote from the store manager, though. The store manager said, I saw her slide the vibrator. Not only slide the vibrator, but slide the vibrator behind.
That guy's got it bad, man. Something about Spencer's being around all those fake boobs and such.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know anything, but I read that online.
Everybody started talking on top of each other. Dave, what did you say?
I said that manager's been just watching the vibrators, waiting for this day.
Oh, yeah.
his day has finally come.
More ways than one.
Yeah, I was just going to say that sometimes I think they're oversexed a little bit at Spencer's because of all the fake boobs and stuff that they have. And then I wanted to make sure that I read that somewhere. I don't really.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got fake boobs, but they also have fart machines. So.
Yeah. Yeah, they've got it all there at Spencer's, you know.
Really do.
You can almost put yourself together your own person with everything you can get there. You get the dildos, you got your fake vages, you got fake boobs. you get a wig, and you're good to go.
I don't know where you're going to go, but you're good to go there.
You're good to go there or something. It won't look pretty, but who cares in the middle of the night? So.
I know I don't.
Right. Speaking of caring, we care about you so much that we are going to tell you that you can also find Packard Pokeset on secular.fm. So if you have a chance to go over to secular.fm and listen to a lot of other atheist-type related podcasts and secular podcasts, you can also find Packard Pokeset there as well. We have some other special words for you right now.
You should contact us by email at ppapodcast or PackardPokesat@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter as @PackardPokesat and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/PackardPokesat or just type PackardPokesat into the Facebook search bar. Call our Google Voice at 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727 and leave a short message and we will play it on the show. Join in the show live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time at vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokesat. Download and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Mixlr Radio, and watch the show on YouTube. Visit our show page at PackardPokesat.wordpress.com for links to the stories and purchase merchandise from CafePress.com/PackardPokesat to support the show. For everyone that rates us, you are awesome sauce.
And thank you, Joe. Even though he's not here, he does a great job with that the commercial there. Oh, and speaking of other things, if you would like to donate to the show, and who doesn't want to donate to the show? And if you don't, well, then please go to iTunes and rate us. But if you do want to donate to the show, and you know, give us a couple of dollars to help keep the lights on, keep the internet flowing, you can go to patreon.com/PackardPoke. That's patreon.com/PackardPoke. You can donate as little as a dollar for once a month, or you know, you can donate, like I said, a dollar, $10, $100, $10,000, whatever you feel comfortable with, and whatever you have in your pocket. And like I said, you only get it once a month, or you can just give a one-time donation over there as well. And it's really easy, and would really help us out. This way, we can keep the internet going and keep this wonderful show going for you every week. Anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. This is all over the news, and normally we don't cover big news things because everybody else is covering it, but this was kind of interesting, I thought. Over in Brooklyn, and you've heard of the Brooklyn Bridge. It's, you know, it's usually in a lot of movies, and that's usually the first thing that goes out is the Brooklyn Bridge because the UFOs land or whatever, or a meteor comes down and destroys all the cars on it because, you know, it's a marvelous target for moviegoers. Something that happened just a couple days ago. Somebody got up there on the bridge, with a group of people anyway. They climbed up on top, took down the American flag that was down there, and they put up another one. Well, you know, it doesn't sound like that's all that exciting, except for the one that they put up there was all bleached out. And it was an American flag, because if you look at the pictures very carefully, it shows that there are some remnants of color. So it was a flag at one point, but it's just all, like I said, all bleached out. Now, some people have been commenting. Apparently, one person put on there on Twitter, from Twitter, thought it was aliens that did it. It's like, yeah, aliens are going to come down. They have nothing else better to do in the cosmos, but we're going to come down and we're going to change a flag from your flag to white. Just to fuck with you, right? You know. One of the people who were investigating this said, "I think it was some people who knew how to climb bridges." Well, you think, really? You think? No, it's just some inexperienced guy who's never climbed a bridge or anything like that, just decided to climb up there, just happened to have a flag with him, and he's going to climb around with and go up there and change it out. Let's be realistic, people. Dave, your thoughts?
I didn't realize this was, like, big news or anything. I haven't seen it in the news. But, you know, my only thought is that it's pretty remarkable that no one noticed them doing it.
Yeah.
That's actually a little scary.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's probably some sort of political statement of some sort. I don't get it, but, you know, some people did it, and I really don't know what else to say about it.
Some people were saying that Manhattan was surrendering to Brooklyn. We surrender. Just take us over. Well,
and maybe that's the point. Maybe they do something stupid, mm-hmm. and then everybody comes up with all these ridiculous theories about it. I mean, seriously, the alien thing is probably a joke. That's got to be a joke, right?
I would hope so. I tried this new app on my phone today, and I would just speak to somebody real briefly. I said I was from Wisconsin. I said, they go, oh, where? I asked where they were from. They say, oh, United States. I said, you do know the Wisconsin is part of the United States. Oh, really? I was like, yeah. So that doesn't surprise me that the level of mentality that someone says it's aliens, it doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
I don't know. I'm thinking, I mean, was it one of those memes with the guy from the History Channel?
I don't know. It didn't have the picture. It just said it was aliens, you know. It's like, okay. Now, they did say at this time, no particular nexus to terrorism or politics. He said that this could be someone's art project or someone's statement. We're just not clear what the statement is. I'm kind of curious about what it is. Also, one of the people who's involved in the investigation, he's putting up $5,000 as a reward for information to lead out who did this. Now, what was amazing is the fact that, and you kind of alluded to it, Dave, that no one really noticed it. They took cake pans and they put them over the light so no one would see that the flag was going down, and put one back up, and then boom, they're gone. And
yeah.
There was apparently a terrorist threat to the Brooklyn Bridge at one point, because they said that they were...
At many points.
That they said, well, why don't we get people out there and we're going to cut the suspension bridge, you know, the suspension pieces. I'm thinking, what are you going to do, go out there with a hacksaw? You're going to be out there for some time, you know. It's not like these are... little thin cables, like, you know, can go out there with a pair of scissors. You'd be out there for quite some time with any kind of equipment. So they've got police surrounding these areas and cameras on there like all 24 hours a day. So the fact is that somebody was able to get up there and do this, it does kind of speak to something.
That's a little terrifying. Yeah. And isn't saying that's either a art project or a statement kind of a false dichotomy? Why can't it be both?
Yeah, it could be.
Neither.
It could be neither. It could just be someone's. Some people could just say it's just a prank. You're just like, hey, let's see what we could get away with.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Dana, your thoughts?
Well, I'm gonna say it's a darn shame that this didn't get any media coverage, because this would be the best headline ever.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine? Like ABC News would be like, "White flag raises red flag. Details at 10." No. Yeah. Think of it. Oh, of course, to your point about conspiracy theories,
mm-hmm.
someone's got to call Alex Jones, because this is literally a false flag operation.
Ah!
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Of course, conservatives everywhere, of course, after blaming Obama for it, are now in a frenzied panic, thinking that they've just signaled their surrender to Al-Qaeda or
right.
China or, I don't know, some other country in the axis of evil. Or Canada.
Right. Yeah, apparently, somebody, Connie was saying that the NYPD was too busy harassing citizens. Maybe.
I'm sorry.
We're too busy. Flag? Fuck, we don't have no time for no flag. We're down here, you know, harassing the people just for shits and giggles over here, you know.
I think we just surrendered to Iraq.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly.
What else does white flag mean? I mean, does it mean anything but surrender?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, that is one of the surrenders things. But with the flag, see, if they had taken the flag and they had turned it upside down, that would have definitely been a political statement, because there's a lot of people out there that think that, you know, the United States is just surrendering to whatever, for whatever reason. Usually it's Republicans, and they turn the flag upside down. And that's usually a sign. It's also another sign of distress. So if you're on a ship at sea or whatever, and you turn the flag upside down, then that's supposed to let other people in the area, if they should see you, say, hey, we need help over here, and you're supposed to go and help them. But a white flag, that does, you know, also, that's the old classic, I surrender, don't shoot. Or whatever. But here's an idea, just a thought, because all the people that go around shooting people is like, hey, we surrender, don't shoot us anymore, you know, from Brooklyn, we're over here in Brooklyn, don't shoot us from Detroit.
It wasn't really a white flag, it was a bleached flag.
Right, exactly.
You could still see some American there. There's still some American there.
Just a little bit, we're washed out. Maybe that's what it is. It's a washed out America.
There you go. Now we're coming on to some conspiracy theories. Let's all speculate some more.
maybe it literally means tread on me.
Right.
We've been treaded on.
We've been treaded on. We're
the treading, the treading on me has been done.
Right. We've been washed out completely.
It is a bridge. It was built to be tread upon.
That's right.
Now I'm definitely calling Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah. Call in. Tell him there was a false flag.
Right.
Let it be known, Alex. Get your info war on, buddy.
That's right. It's not like the truest thing he said ever.
Speaking of things that are somewhat true, when it comes to emotions and some, like the, someone who put up that flag must have had some kind of emotional thing going on in their brain. When it comes to emotions, most people experience everything that, you know, from love, hate, jealousy, and everything, pretty much the whole gamut. But when it comes to jealousy, we think that that's only something that humans experience. There's some research that was done recently that showed that dogs, well, they haven't done with any other animals yet, but they've started with dogs that they experience jealousy. They took some small dogs because they didn't want to have the dogs get out of hand if, you know, something happened. They took these small dogs. They put in a fake dog that could wag its tail and make fake barking sounds. They took a jack-o'-lantern and a book. They would have the owners pet the jack-o'-lantern, pay attention to the jack-o'-lantern, the fake dog, and they would read the book aloud. Well, the dogs would come up to the owners, and then they would indicate that they wanted attention. So if they were giving attention to the fake dog, the real dogs would come up and try to get their attention back, basically. Take their hand and, you know, okay, hey, go over here. So if you've had more, if you're anybody that has more than one pet and you have more than one dog and you start petting one dog, you know, the other ones are going to come right around and they're going to say, hey, you know, I want attention too. And you only have so many hands. You can pet both at the same time, but if you got three dogs, well, then you're just fucked. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the most interesting thing about this is, I mean, to people who do, as B said in the chat room, anyone who has dogs knows they get jealous.
Mm-hmm.
And to a certain extent, that's true. Not all dogs. Yeah, some dogs don't. But, you know, animals, some animals do exhibit that, or seem to, appear to. We may interpret it as such. I think the interesting thing about this story is that if we were to take our own animals at home and say they get jealous and use that as confirmation, that's anecdotal evidence, it's this or that. It's really a bias of sorts.
Mm-hmm.
What this is doing is taking something that everyone kind of thinks about their own pets, and we're confirming it through a scientific process. We're actually testing the hypothesis on a larger number and making it so it's statistically significant.
Hmm.
So it's an actual confirmation from science of something that many people already believed anecdotally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the larger picture in that, is that, you know, things that anecdotal evidence oftentimes can be true, but if it is true, it's going to be confirmed objectively through some scientific process like this.
Right, exactly. And that's what they're trying to, I think that's what the researchers trying to go for, is trying to figure out if this is actually what they're experiencing. And it, so far, it's, that's what it seems like. That's what it is. Because they said that they would instruct, like I said, instruct the people to treat the fake dog and the jack-o'-lantern like they're real dogs. And now, there, some of the owners' dogs, they had one of three things happen. Now, that the dog didn't do anything. Now, they said it was one of three things. Now, either the dog and the owner didn't have that much of a bond connection. The dog was either too dumb to realize that the other animal, the fake animals, or were fake or whatever, so they just didn't care. Or they thought, well, okay, that's fake, so I don't need to compete with a fake animal or a jack-o'-lantern or a book, because I know those aren't other dogs. So they,
right.
There were, like I said, there is some difference on there between some of those dogs that said that they didn't do any interacting whatsoever. It didn't matter. So, and they don't understand why at this point. Maybe at some point they'll figure it out.
My girlfriend has three dogs, and one of them is a retired hunting dog,
mm-hmm.
that spent its first 7 years living in a kennel and being used as a working hunting dog.
Right.
The two that were not are very competitive for attention, and the one who was a trained hunting dog just absolutely is not, does not care, doesn't need the attention, does not get jealous of the other dogs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that has anything to do with the socialization that it had in its upbringing or anything. It seems just happy to be in the house and get attention at all.
Oh, yeah.
But it's obvious to me that if dogs feel jealousy, I mean, just as people, not every person is a jealous person, and it's obviously not ubiquitous throughout the dog world either.
Right. Yeah, that, like you said, it's not common amongst all dogs. It's just some dogs, or a good portion of them were, which was really interesting. Dana, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a fascinating study. And in terms of the repercussions, I think this is probably the best case against not allowing dogs to apply for concealed carry permits.
And that has become a real problem, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'm very anti-dog gun. So
right.
And the other thing is that, jealousy is one of the seven deadly dog sins.
Yes.
Number one, of course, is licking oneself.
Yes.
But jealousy is, one of the lesser sins. It's like a venial sin.
Right. Well, the other one that you mentioned there, you can lick yourself, but just don't lick around other people, that's all. You're supposed to do that privately.
For cleaning only, not to completion.
Right.
That's something I heard. I read on the internet.
Right. Do you have any other thoughts on that, Dana?
No, I am fresh out of jokes.
Okay. Speaking of being fresh out, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky.
There's this girl. She's a Christian. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to tell people that God told me that I shouldn't pay for my tuition. She's going around telling people that she gets this message from supposedly from God saying, I want you to become a lawyer, go to Pat Robertson's school or whatever, and you don't have to pay for your tuition. Well, that would be great because I just heard from God like while we were at the commercial break, and he said that I shouldn't have to pay for anything either, so you should just donate to Packard Pokes. I'm kidding.
God told me that too.
Yeah, as a matter of, yeah. I see, your confirmation right there. Dana, he told Dana too, so... So make sure you go to patreon.com/PackerPokes. And
God says so.
Because God said so, right. This girl apparently has a history of this. She had her own blog post. She was supposed to go to Mozambique or wherever. She was supposed to go to someplace across the seas for a mission. And she's like, oh, well, God said I should wait. Because I need all this extra money for something else. Okay, so this is not just a one-time thing. This is the history of it. This just goes to the state of how religion is such a fucking scam. And anybody who believes this kind of stuff, I'm sorry. If you're parting your money with people who say God spoke to them for A, B, and C and said, you need to give me money because God told me that you need to give me money, then you're just scamming on people. Now, if you want to donate to the show because you like the show, that's a different story. I'm not trying to scam you. Just donate if you want to, but if you want to. Dave, your thoughts?
Oh, geez. I've got a few thoughts about this. First off, I did speak to God, and he wants me to sail around the world, and I need a sailboat. I'm not looking for anything super fancy, just like a Catalina 22.
Right.
Yeah, roughly, $25,000. If you could make checks payable to P.O. Box, anyhow. I don't know. I mean, if she were an Israelite, she could just wait 7 years and have all of her debts forgiven.
Right.
that's with Deuteronomy 15.
Right.
They say, wait 7 years, and if you haven't repaid your debt in 7 years, then you have to forgive them.
I wish they were true. I wish they...
I don't know why... No one's used that as an argument yet, but
I'll use it next week. Actually,
there's still time for some crazy.
Sure, why not?
No, I think this is ridiculous. She claims on her blog that this is her, God truly spoke to her, and you can read about it in her journal if you like. I'm wondering, first off, would she truly provide me with her journal to read through? Because that's got to be some fucked up reading.
Oh, yeah.
And also, I mean, I can write a journal that says God told me to do it. As a matter of fact, God told me to sail around the world, and I need my Catalina 22, so...
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a whole journal about it, and you can read about it if you want.
Right.
In my journal. I'll show you.
I'll write it up on the Packard Pokes at blog saying God told me to ask people for money for the show. Can you prove it didn't happen? No, you can't.
Hell, God actually put it in some tablets. I've got those, too.
Mine say bear, you know. Wait, the wrong kind of tablets. Danny, your thoughts?
I just got that. Bear tab. I get it. Okay, so as you can imagine, since I'm such a raving atheist, I have a lot to say about this. Okay, first off, apparently God gets a better interest rate than the banks, which is pretty low as it is right now. So that joke went nowhere. Okay, so God wants her to be an attorney?
Right.
Don't have a punchline for that. That's kind of a joke on its own.
Right. She should have been a politician. If she's going to say God told her everybody to give her money, she should have been a politician, not a lawyer.
Sure. So I'm sure there must be a Bible verse that tells her not to do this. Oh, wait, there is, as a matter of fact. 1 Timothy 2:12.
Mm-hmm.
I do not suffer a woman to teach. She must remain silent, which means she can't be a prosecutor.
That's right.
That's direct violation of God's word. So, yeah, I'm going to tell my mortgage company that I'm walking by faith like she is and hope that Chase won't mind if I stop paying my mortgage.
Unfortunately.
A couple of things. Firstly, how is this any different than God told me to go to the top of Safeco Field and shoot the White Sox?
Right.
And finally, here's two other interesting Bible verses I found about lawyers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Luke 11:45-52, Jesus said, whoa, not like W-O-E, not whoa, like whoa.
Whoa, dude!
No. Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers.
Ooh.
I know. So he's got like some animosity toward lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Proverbs 31:8-9, open your mouth, make for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and needy. So I'm guessing she's not going into corporate law.
Right. Who knows?
She's just going to try to impose her religion on everyone else.
Yeah. You have to submit to me. I win because I'm the Christian. You heathen, you don't get to win because you don't believe in God. That's it.
God doesn't just want her to go to law school. She wants her to go to shitty Pat Robertson Law School.
Right. I was like, you're going to go through Robertson's Law School. You might as well take any cash you do get and just set it at a fire.
Why doesn't she just get a doctorate from the internet for like $4?
Because you can get them for $3.
Right.
Right.
There was a lot of lawyer jokes going through the chat room a little while ago. It's like, what is 10,000 lawyers at the bottom of the sea? A good start, you know.
Yeah, there haven't been a lot of good new lawyer jokes.
Yeah. Lately,
because the old ones work so well.
That's right.
Yeah, Jesus hates lawyers. I'm going to get a t-shirt that says, God hates lawyers.
There you go. Kind of in the chat room, she was reading her blog. Apparently, she said it's total crap. The whole blog page is total crap. And I tend to bow to her judgment on that. So does anybody else have any comments on this before we move on to our next story?
I just can't believe that Connie actually found something on the internet that was total crap. I thought it was all true.
Oh, that's unbelievable. The internet is, that's
Connie,
that's
you're amazing.
True. How about information.
We found the only story that's nonsense.
Right.
On the net.
Karen in the chat room said, here's another lawyer joke, since we're telling out lawyer jokes. What do you call a lawyer with an IQ of 50? Your Honor.
Isn't that the truth?
Louis Gohmert's actually an attorney.
Yeah, so, that explains a lot right there.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, speaking of explaining things and Deuteronomy, since that's where you got that from, we got a little video for you, and we're going to play that right now.
Again, we do discern a demonic spirit inside the false religion of Islam, the false prophet Muhammad, and their phony and false Sharia courts, which oppress and enslave women. That's a demonic spirit. When you force a woman to marry her rapist, and you call that good practicing of Islam, I think Islam is demonic so far as it teaches that kind of teaching.
Well, thank you, Gordon Klingon shit. Jesus Christ, this guy is such a fucking nut job. He thinks that because all the other religions out there, they're the false religions. They're the fake religions. No, they're all fucking fake. But if you really want to go there, Dr. Assless Chaps, that you think that any religion is demonic because it forces them to marry their rapist, well, you apparently have not picked up your Bible. And, or at least you probably skimmed over this part where it says in Deuteronomy 22, 28 through 29, if a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, he shall pay the father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her. He can never divorce her as long as he lives. So I guess you just called your own religion demonic. Dave, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's absolutely hypocrisy at mm-hmm. its finest. I mean, that's, I don't understand how he's taking the Old Testament, which is the shared text of Islam and Christianity, and trying to separate them into two different things. It's his book.
Mm-hmm.
He is condemning his own doctrine in that breath there, which is absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, not to mention, when I debate this specific topic with people, which it does come up a lot, you know, the main defense that they have is that this is actually a kind gesture,
right?
To have someone, you know, it's a punishment to the rapist, really, according to them, that he has to do that because he has destroyed the women, our property, and he's destroyed the property, and the women then have no chance to go out and get married because they're damaged goods.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's actually punished by having to do this, and at the same time, he's saving her from, you know, a life of never being able to be sold or never being able to, I mean, essentially a lot of women who were deflowered early on ended up going into prostitution and things like that at mm-hmm. that point. So it's saving her from that life. And right. that's lovely, except for the actual end result is that someone's being forced to marry their rapist and live in absolute hell and agony every single day. And then, presumably, be forced to have sex with them all the time, because the Bible also says that, you know, women have to have sex with their husbands.
Yeah.
So it's just, I mean, it's absolutely sickening that even exists, but for him to try to separate his religion from Islam on that specific point is ludicrous.
Yep.
Because it's shared between the two.
Yep. And the thing is, there'll be a lot of Christians out there who will say, you're taking that from the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. We live under the New Covenant. Well, you know what? There was another video that he did just recently that he was talking about homosexuality, and he was talking about taking stuff from the Old Testament. It's always funny that Christians will say, that's the Old Testament, you can't do that. But when it comes to making their own points, oh, well, they can use any part of the Bible they want, old or new. You know, and it's like, if you're going to use one, you got to use it all. You can't just pick and choose one part of the Old Testament because you like that part. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. If you can choose that part, we can talk about any of those other parts as well. We're just open to that as well. Dana, your thoughts?
I don't really have a lot to say about this. All right, so let's get this straight, which is something I would never say to Gordon Klingenschmidt. It's demonic to marry your rapist in Islam, but it's okay in the Bible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So slavery, which is also mentioned, and it's actually a well-known fact that not only was Muhammad was a pedophile, he was also a slave owner as well, because yep. that's also in the book. So I'm guessing that, what, the slavery is not morally wrong in the Bible either?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's I've talked to Christians on that too, and they say, oh, well, slavery really wasn't that bad. It was just indentured servitude. It's like, no, it wasn't, dude. It was slavery, dude. Slavery is slavery. It's not indentured servitude. They try to soften the language, as George Carlin would say.
Yeah. You know, the thing that's really interesting is that, yeah, so he's condemning the idea that that it's demonic to marry a rapist, but at this very moment, Republicans are trying to put laws on the books that would not only mandate that a rape victim who got pregnant by the rapist would have to have the baby,
mm-hmm.
but that the father of that child would have legal rights to it.
Right.
Which is it, man? Is it the law of the Lord or the law of the land? You know, mm-hmm. you can't have it both ways.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No, so, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Aside from the, you know, from the dick joke, I mean, I really don't have anything funny to say about this. It's a huge hypocrisy that we just keep pointing out over and over and over again, but the Christians always have their little shield of faith, and they're like, well, you can't use that part of it because it goes against my, it's
my belief system, even though it's my belief system.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And it's exactly that. They always will fall back on, it's my belief, it's my religious belief. It's like, yeah, that's fine, but, you know, it doesn't, when they say that, it doesn't mean anything, really. It's like, fine, that's your belief, but usually that's a conversation stopper anyway, so.
Well, yeah, your book would mandate otherwise.
Right, exactly.
So, you're just making shit up.
Exactly, at that point. Exactly. Any last thoughts on Dr. Assless Chaps?
No, but I love the fact you call him Dr. Assless Chaps.
He calls himself Dr. Chaps on the video usually.
That he does.
So I call him Dr. Assless Chaps. Because even though he says he's anti-gay and he talks about gay people a lot of the times on his videos, not this particular one, but I just wanted to bet you that he calls himself Dr. Chaps because he's wearing chaps at home and I don't think he's wearing anything underneath him. So I'm calling Dr. Assless Chaps.
Yeah, they only shoot him from the waist up.
That's right. He could have them on right during the videos. We don't know. Let's get on to our next topic for this evening. And our funny tweet tonight comes from Housewife of Hell. That's Housewife of Hell. And she says, my kid came back from her work trip to Nicaragua, able to mix cement. I have a leaky chimney. Finally, this having kids thing is paying off. Dave, your thoughts?
You know, you got to have kids for some reason.
That's right. Hey, if mine could mix cement, I'd have them build me a chimney. Or maybe just a barbecue pit. That'd be nice, too.
Build your own damn tree for it. You got the cement.
That's right. You know how to mix that shit up. I don't. Danny, your thoughts?
Yeah. Child labor. I'm totally for it, kind of. I guess. Yeah. I mean, no. That's great. I wish my kids had a skill that, like, laborers
yeah.
had. So, you know, something other than, like, doing the dishes every now and then or vacuuming.
Vacuuming.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a skill that's lost on the generation.
I'm going to teach my kids how to arc weld.
Man.
I don't have to send them to Nicaragua to do it. I just have to send them down the street.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I hear you can ask God to pay for your arc welder, too.
Boy, that'll be convenient because those are expensive.
Yes, they are. All right. Well, let's get on to our next topic for this evening. Our shout out this evening comes from Dave. Your shout out is for Vince T, VINCTEE. Can you tell us about Vince T?
Yes, he's a retired computer engineer into social action, protest songs, and arts and sciences. And he's an atheist who knows his Bible, according to his Twitter profile. But I can attest to that. I've actually seen him in debates on Twitter, and he does know quite a lot about the Bible, and he's quite active and jumps in to conversations and is, seems to be a pretty good guy. So I'm sending him a little shout out there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, give Vince T a follow. It's VINCTEE, and tell him you heard him on the Packer Pokesat show. All right. Well, that's it for us tonight. I want to thank everybody for coming, and join us again here next week. We'll be back with our short show. For next week. It's about a 30-minute show. So it's live every Friday nights, vaughnlive.tv/PackardPokesAt. We will see you next week. This has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.